Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Jeannie Sisko-Meth, and we will be talking about bully-proofing you, improving confidence and personal value from the inside out. As a longtime educator and parent, Jeannie Sisko-Meth has dealt with bullying situations over and over. And in this easy-to-understand guide, she shares her very best secrets for bully-proofing your life. Everyone can find valuable words of wisdom in this book, including a straightforward step-by-step plan for bully-proofing you. You'll learn about improving your self-esteem, how to prevent being bullied, and understanding why people bully, and even how to stop another person from being bullied. For more information, you can visit Jeannie's website, which is jeanniesiscometh.com, and that's JeannieCiscoMeth.com. And so with that, I'd like to welcome Jeannie to the show. Good day, Jeannie.
Thank you so much, Robert. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and, you know, this is such an important topic. I mean, that, you know, we're seeing, you know, the topic in the news every day, you know, so it's something that is rampant, and we really need to be informed. So I usually like to have my guests kind of give a little bit of a background about their journey and how they got to dealing with the topic they are. So would you mind sharing a little bit about your journey and how it is that you came to be so interested in the topic of bullying?
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. And when I was younger, I had quite a few learning disabilities. And so they told me in elementary school that I was too stupid. I would never make it through school. And, you know, for them to say that, a lot of people, when I let people know, they're like, oh, you poor thing. And I'm like, no. As I look back on it now, it was the perfect thing because when I hit junior high, it kind of ticked me off. And I was like, you don't decide, I decide. And so I had dyslexia. A lot of people know what that is now, but I also had auditory dyslexia. And because of not being able to hear things properly, not being able to see things properly because I was legally blind plus dyslexia, I had quite a few challenges. And because of that, I got teased quite a bit. I got bullied quite a bit. And that helped lead me to my first profession, which was an educator. I taught high school for 17 years and developed the program, Bully Proofing You, while I was an educator, and just absolutely loved. In 2012, I transitioned to the stage, but now I get to travel all over helping people and improving lives, and that's what it's all about. I absolutely love what I do.
Wow. Yeah. You know, the school years, you know, seem to be ripe territory for bullying, and it seems that parents sometimes don't are kind of in the dark about their children and the topic, whether their child is the subject or even the bullier. You know, sometimes that they're, you know, in the dark about that. So what would you say, you know, for parents listening, what are some signs for them to kind of be aware of or to be on the lookout for, you know, whether a bully, what are some signs, you know, that bullying may be occurring, either their child being the subject of or even being a bully?
Yeah. So many times people, parents especially, even teachers, we do a lot of trainings for teachers and businesses as well, they miss the warning signs because they're not looking for them. They're not educated about them. And so often the focus is on the external bully and, you know, what people are saying to their child or what their child is saying to other people. That is not the most devastating bully. The most devastating bully is the one that lives right between our own ears, the internal dialogue that we have with ourselves. And the way that you can pick that up is if you listen to your child's or your student's language. You know, listen for the way they talk about themselves. Listen for the way they talk about other people. Many times parents and people in general are so caught up in their own internal bully, their own internal language, that they miss it in their children. And so one of the exercises that I tell my participants at my events to do is, you know, a lot of times I'm a woman, and so when I walk by a mirror or a window or something that can reflect me, I immediately, and many people do this, start going, oh, my hair's a mess, you know, oh, my shirt's not tucked in, you know, whatever. And so I encourage people to do the exact opposite. And I remember very specifically one morning walking out into the living room and my hair was a mess. I did it specifically. I didn't brush my hair or anything before I went out. And I paused in the mirror in the living room and I'm like, whoa, check out this hair. I worked on this all night long. This is beautiful. And so I started talking uplifting things, even though I was a mess. Whereas most people say, oh, my gosh, my hair is a mess. I look a mess. I don't have any makeup on. You know, I got a mustard spot on my tie, whatever it is. I invite you to start listening to what your children say because they're going to say the same things you do. And so if you improve your language, they can improve theirs.
Wow. You know, that's, I hadn't really thought of the idea of that internal bully, you know, of what we, you know, do it ourselves. And you know, you're so right that we, you know, there is that critical voice that just seems to, you know, delight in tearing us down or, you know, being that bully. And you know, I can see where, you know, it's important to really start with yourself, you know, as far as.
Yeah, absolutely. Kids are great at learning. Well, people are in general, right? We learn by modeling other people. And so if their child is being bullied, you know, usually it's because their child is bullying, it's because they're being bullied at home. That's usually why the parents don't see their child becoming a bully. It's because they're teaching their child how to behave, or someone close to that child is teaching them. I don't want to say it's always the parents because that's not always the case, but that child is learning that behavior somewhere. So I invite people to look at it with a little bit of a different perspective, and that is hurt people hurt people. People hurt people. And so if somebody says something negative to me or detrimental to me, it's because they are hurting. But if I can look at it and go, wow, that person's in a lot of pain, and then I can choose whether I want to help them or not. My book, my best-selling book, Bullyproofing You, starts with a quote from Viktor Frankl that says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. And in that space lies our power to choose. And in our choice lies our growth and our freedom. And that's the basis upon which my program is built, that response to what someone says to me.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. So if there's a parent out there right now who is confronting bullying behavior, would you suggest that the first place to start is with themselves and to do that internal inventory and see where maybe, you know, they are doing, you know, their that mental talk, you know, is bullying within, and then how that is projected outward, you know, with their words, know, that they use and choose not only with their children but with other people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I do with my mentoring clients is I advise them to carry a little notebook, just a little pocket notebook. Or you can, if you don't want to carry that, a lot of people don't like carry pens and paper anymore, right? It's all on our phone. There's an app called Sticky Notes, and you can pull up a sticky note. And then set an alarm or remind yourself throughout the day. I used to do it on the hour, every hour, because I had a watch that would chime. And then I would just quickly write a little note about what thought was I thinking in that moment. And they've actually done quite a few studies on this now. You can find statistics and studies from quite a few different universities and Harvard in specifically. And they did a study and they found out that on average, a person has about 60,000 thoughts in a day, of which 80% are negative.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, that's, whoa, what, 80% of my thoughts are negative? Oh my gosh. You know, and I'll give my clients this assignment. I'll say, go do this. They're like, oh, I'm a pretty positive person. I think I'm pretty positive. I'm like, just do it. Collect data. Don't judge. And they come back and like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. I had no idea. I was complaining and blaming and, you know, pointing fingers and at myself as well as others. So it's a really eye-opening exercise, and I highly recommend that everybody do that.
Yeah, that's, I'm put myself in that generally positive category too, but I had some of the best negativity training growing up, you know, that still to this day, you know, continues to come into my thoughts quite often, and that I have to fight it back and say, wait a minute, you know, that's not right. switch that up a little.
Yeah, I call it taming the bully or taking out the trash, right? Think about, and I just swipe my hand over my forehead and pull it away from me and drop it. And I'm like, okay, stop, or I'll take out the trash and I'll just wipe my hand across my forehead, pull it away from me and drop it. And in my mind, that is me stopping that bully, changing that. Because, we've all forgotten to take out the trash, right? It happens from time to time. And you'll go to take out the trash the next day or whatever, and you're like, oh my gosh, that stinks. Well, the same thing is happening in your mind. If you're not getting rid of the negative voices, if you're not taming that bully, your brain gets stinky.
I understand that clearly. And I think that's a great way to visualize, you know, exactly the effect, you know, those negative thoughts can have. I kind of want to deal with this in several different ways. First of all, with children, we've been talking about self, but the best way to recognize that the bullying, the self-bullying, you know, is, you know, like you said, that internal talk, but also the words we use. And now, when we're dealing with people in general, be it in the workplace, relatives, friends, do you feel that it's that the bullying can exist in all of those environments?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Bullying is not just on the playground anymore. It's everywhere. It's everywhere because there are hurt people everywhere. And we are becoming more and more isolated. We are becoming more and more insulated by the boxes that we put around us. And we don't reach out to people. And in the process of isolating ourselves, we become less and less attuned to feelings and energies and emotions that are going on around us, which means that we are not very good communicators. And so what happens is misunderstandings and miscommunications happen all the time. And instead of taking a moment and stopping and going, okay, what did you mean by that? So in my family, we will say, what I heard you say was. So the other day I'd said something to my son and he was like, Mom, what I heard you say was, and I'm like, no, Max, no, that's not what I meant at all. This is what I meant. Oh, okay. But so many people don't take the time to clarify what is being communicated, and filters get in the way.
Yeah, well, you know, we talk about, you know, in today's society, we have, you know, we have social media, we have those kinds of connections, but they're, in many ways, it's, even though we're connected, we're not connected. You know, we don't.
Right,
though,
yeah.
Yeah. And in cases, in some cases like Twitter, where you can be virtually anonymous, it seems to be a set up perfectly for the bully to be able to thrive in that environment.
Right, yes. Because there is, so I was in the military. I spent time in the Army. And the Army is very good at dehumanizing the enemy. Why? Because there is I truly believe there is a built-in safety mechanism in each and every one of us. And that safety mechanism is we will not hurt another human. And now first you say, wait a minute, there's violence all the time. Yeah, but it's not against a mother. It's not against a sister. It's against an object. And we objectify people by calling them names and labeling them in inappropriate ways. If we were to look at the person standing in front of us as a mother, a sister, a father, a brother, another human being, we would not hurt them. But when we label them as stupid or incompetent or lazy or a jerk, I can hurt that because that's not a person anymore. And so as we get more and more involved in social media, we lose more and more of our human part. And so my mission is to help people reconnect on a heart level so that they can start the healing. Because just like hurt people, healed people, heal people. And if we can start that healing, that connection, we will end bullying and abuse.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with that, you know, healing heals. And, I mean, healing self, you know, heals others as well. So when it comes time to confronting bullies, okay, let's say that you are the recipient or the object of bullying.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're talking about adults right now, and then we'll get into the kids a little bit later. But, you know, as an adult, what are some tips or ideas on how to best deal with that, cope with that, or manage that?
Beautiful, beautiful question. And the last part of my Bullyproofing You book, the last three chapters are totally dealing with this, planned responses. And it's actually the same for a teen or a middle schooler or a younger kid as it is for an adult. And that is ask a question. When somebody is bullying you or, you know, starting to try and intimidate you, you ask a question. And the question could be, what time is it? The question could be, you know, hey, what's your favorite color? The question could be, you know, what time's dinner? But what it does is when people are bullying, they're not thinking. They're not processing information. They're totally in reaction stage. And we are trained from a very young age to answer questions. And so when I ask a question, it stops the person from reacting and causes them to act. They have to think about what they're going to do. And so as you ask that question, it causes them to stop reacting and act. And because you ask an appropriate question, it can cause them, it's kind of like a part of NLP, you know, neuro-linguistic programming, where it's an interrupt, it's a pattern interrupt for them as they're trying to bully you.
Okay, so basically, and it can be any question, But it's just basically to just change the dynamic from to being one of them just not thinking, for basically putting it back on them to kind of stop and shift their actions or their
yeah
words.
It can't be a question that could be automatic, like, why are you bullying me? That's not
okay.
thinking. That's reaction
okay.
still. So it's got to be one that causes them to think or process information differently. And in my book, I go through it step by step. You see, when emotion is high, intelligence is low. And so when somebody is getting bullied, that causes their emotions to go up. Your heart rate goes up, your respiration goes up, right? And you get nervous and you can't think. And so the book walks you through steps on how to still manage your emotions so that you can still think and process information. So have you ever, has somebody said something to you and then like 2 hours later, you know, the perfect comeback?
Often.
Right?
Often.
Yeah. That's because in the moment, that emotion is high and your brain shuts off. Then once the emotion dissipates, your brain's like, oh, I got it. I know what I can say.
Okay.
And so the last part of the book walks you through how to train yourself to do that appropriately.
Okay. Well, that's great. So for basically, you know, if you you or your kids are the on the receiving end. So obviously, it usually happens consistently. I mean, it's not a one-time thing usually. I mean, usually bullying is a repetitive kind of activity. So knowing or anticipating, you know, a bully, maybe have those questions prepared ahead of time so that it so that you can kind of disarm quickly. I mean, you know, basically, because
yeah.
I mean, if you're, you know, if you're in emotional too, then it's, but you have those prepared, then it's, I would think, easier to be able to respond, you know, without that emotion behind.
Yes, correct. So all through my book, you're going to see a pyramid, and there's three layers to the pyramid, and then there's an arrow running up and down the side, a double-ended arrow. And the foundation of the pyramid is personal value, belief in self. When I believe in myself, it doesn't matter what someone else says to me. And I build that self-worth, that personal value, by making a decision and then taking action. And so the first part of the book dives deep into personal value and how to build it, how to make that decision. The problem comes when we allow other people to decide who we are through their comments and negative input. The second part is perspective. And we touched on that a little bit earlier about how hurt people hurt people. And so if I can remember that the bullying is not about me, it's about the bully and their pain, then, you know, and I can shift that perspective and take it off of me and put it onto him, then I'm more likely to help and heal that other person. And then the very top of the pyramid is planned responses. And that's exactly what we're talking about now. I practice so that I can, so one of my sayings is I practice in private so I can get paid in public. And that fits
okay.
here as well. I practice those one-liners. I practice those questions. I practice responding with ease and grace and unemotionally so that when I'm in those tense situations, I'm still able to think and process information. And then the arrow running up and down the side says practice, practice, practice. Because you can always get better at all three of those.
Okay. Well, that's great. We're about halfway through the show. I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back, Jeannie, I want to explore a little bit deeper, the base of that pyramid, that personal value aspect, and how different things that we can do to strengthen that, okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, in addition to iTunes, the podcast is available for free subscription at TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and there's another one back in this case right now. We're everywhere. But anyway, go on to the homepage. We have links for you to join us there. So, again, today, my very special guest is Jeannie Sisko-Meth, and we're talking about her book, Bully-Proofing You, Improving Confidence and Personal Value from the Inside Out. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is JeannieSiskoMeth.com, and that's JeannieSiskoMeth.com. And with that, we're back, Jeannie.
Hello again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's start with that personal value. Look a little bit closer at that. You know, one of the things that I would think is if one has a strong sense of worth, that it would be easier to stand up to or confront a bully. So, for the individual who's experiencing bullying, what are some things like I think you were talking about, walking by your window or mirror and you see, and you talk about how wonderful you look, and you may think you look like a mess, but you just tell yourself you're wonderful, and so you can really kind of switch it up as far as that self-esteem and self-worth. What are some other ways individuals can strengthen that sense of worth or value?
Perfect question. So what I recommend people do is start to look at the greatness of who they are. One of my declarations, affirmations, whatever you call them, I want to call it a declaration because I'm declaring who I am. One of my declarations is I am great and I'm getting better every day. The reason I say things like that is because it leads me to where I want to go. I want to love myself. We actually have T-shirts made that say, I love my life. And it starts with, I remember when my mentor suggested I say that to myself. And I was like, I hate my life. Mm-hmm. And he's like, just start saying it. So every morning I would wake up and I would say, I love myself, ugh, right? I'd have the shivers and ugh. And then I'd say, I love my life. Ugh. It was hard for me to say it when I started. Now I say, I love my life. I say, I love myself. I'm great and I'm getting better. All of those things without the heebie-jeebies after. But it took me a while to reprogram my brain. And it could be the same for those who are listening right now. So just because you say, I love myself, and it feels weird, keep doing it. keep doing it. You've made the decision to not like yourself. Now make the decision to like yourself. And I know some people may be saying, but that's egotistical. No, it's not egotistical.
Yeah, well, you know, it was interesting. Yesterday, I usually like to put little quotes and of like inspiration in my nature pictures on Facebook. And yesterday, I mean, it was from Shinru Suzuki. Everything is perfect, and there's always room for improvement. So, I mean, it seems that, you know, that when you come from the standpoint that you are perfect as you are, and you're getting better every day, that then it becomes then you switch away from the, you know, I am perfect. You recognize that even though you are perfect as you are right now, you know, but you can always get better. I mean, you know, improve on that perfection. So, you know, I mean, for those who come back with the egotistical kind of, you know, that's egotistical. I mean, if you come back and say that, you know, recognize that that perfection in you and it's getting better, you recognize that, you know, there's always room for improvement. And, you know, I mean, because I think there's that tendency that if someone says that I am perfect, that it's like there is absolutely no room for improvement, that I am where it's at, you know. But we all recognize that we have areas that we can improve on, you know, that for, you know, living our life fuller and happier, you know, there are things that we can do better, choices that we can make, better choices. So I think in that sense, you know, we're allowing our mind to embrace who we are and also embrace the fact that we know we can do better.
Yeah, absolutely. I was doing a Facebook Live the other day, and I was talking about how many times you have to go through failure to get to success. People think that, oh, I'm, you know, I'm going to be this huge success, and they go out and they try it a few times and they're not, and they give up. That's wrong. You have to practice. Remember earlier I said I practice in private so I can get paid in public. It's the same thing. Whatever you want to create, you absolutely can create it. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of practice. It's going to take a lot of focus, and you can get there if you do those things. I used to coach men's basketball, and the first time somebody would try to shoot a free throw, they wouldn't make it. But they would step on the court thinking that they're going to be the next, you know, I think of the Jazz because I'm in Utah, so Karl Malone, John Stockton, I know that they have all retired now. You know, whoever you want to say, Kobe Bryant, you know, there's so many players. But they didn't get to be there without thousands of hours of practice beforehand. So practice loving yourself. Practice doing the things that you want to do. Practice being nice to yourself. Practice being nice to others.
Yeah. Okay, so in today's world, we have some prominent people in, you know, that either be in entertainment, politics, sports, that exhibit behaviors that would be considered bullying. So what would a parent do to help a child understand that, you know, despite the fact that these people have some kind of fame or notoriety, that the actions or words aren't appropriate?
So I think it's a great way to use those instances as examples of people who are human and make mistakes.
Okay.
And they get to use God's grace. God has given me so much grace. I can give a little bit to my fellow human beings. And so when people make mistakes or they bully, it's coming from that perspective of they're human and they make mistakes. What was going on in their life that day that made them lash out in pain and anger and frustration? I don't know. But when I come at it with that perspective, then I realize that it's okay to make mistakes, and you clean them up.
Okay.
So you can use those examples, you know, in social media, on the news, in newspapers, to say, hey, look, here's an example of somebody who needs more practice.
Okay.
Here's an example of someone who needs grace.
Well, that's great. You know, that's a great way to, I mean, kind of use it as a teaching moment or teaching experience to be able to recognize that. So now, when, you know, so as far as personal value, we kind of touched on that. Now, perspective, you mentioned, you know, that, you know, those who bully, you know, those who are hurt. How do you, I guess, disarm someone who is exhibiting that kind of reactive hurt that they may be trying to pass on to either you or maybe to your child, you know, be it in school, that kind of thing?
So the best way is to become a watcher of people. And I teach my kids and my clients about this by going to the mall and sitting at the mall and watching people and asking questions. What do you think that person is thinking? What do you think that person is thinking? Become a student of others. Watch people's faces when they talk. Watch people's body language and how they move. Because there are so many things that we say with our body language that we would never say with our mouth. And so because we get so wrapped up in our own life, we don't always pay attention to what's going on around us. And so I invite, you know, if your child's having troubles at school or whatever, or, you know, or is your child sitting alone and afraid, whatever that is, help them become a student of people. And if you want to prevent bullying, you find the person who has, you know, who is by themselves or withdrawn, or and you make them your friend. And you go talk to them and you sit with them at lunch and you spend time with them. There has recently, probably over about the last 5 years, suicides have started hitting all age groups and nationalities and everything. And the problem, you know, we just had a lady who was, she was 17 years old. She had just, her science club, she had just won a scholarship to MIT. You know what I mean? She was good looking. She was a cheerleader. All of those things. She committed suicide. Why? Because of the negative voices in her head. Her body language would have shown it if people would have been looking for it. So in about, you know, and I don't know how deep you want me to go on this, but.
Actually, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that is one of those things that has troubled me deeply.
Yeah. So in whenever a question is asked, we come up, our brain comes up with about 600 different things that we can say. Then our brain filters it down to about 150 words that we're going to say. Because the other, right, 450 kind of get filtered out. And they show up in our body language. But we still fought them. And so by paying attention to body language, I know if somebody's angry, if somebody's upset, if somebody's beating themselves up, because it happens in their face and it happens in their body. And so become a student of learning those tells, those signals. Pay attention.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, that's, you know, the frequency of, the increased frequency of suicide among teens in particular,
yes,
is really, to me, it's just, it's crazy. I, you know, when I think back to, you know, my teenage years, there were a lot of times I just, you know, did not want to be who I was, where I was, you know, for a variety of reasons, but never entertained the idea of suicide. It just was not one of those things that, you know, came into my head. But it seems like, you know, since today's kids can see it and hear about it, you know, wherever, whether it be in their school or the neighboring city, neighboring state, or wherever, or maybe their media, social media connections, that it's kind of right there, that it seems that that it becomes a possibility or one,
yeah,
you know, thing that to consider, you know, that in the past wasn't so.
Right. And my daughter has been suicidal for many, many years. Thank goodness she's no longer suicidal. This book, there's a home study course as well, was designed specifically for that, to save lives, to improve lives. And what happens is when you are only talking to yourself, when the only voice you hear when you're all alone is your own and it's negative, it's a downward spiral, a quick downward spiral in many cases. And if you don't reach outside and you don't connect to other people and you don't believe when they say, I love you, it's a pretty lonely, desolate place. If I don't think I'm lovable, I don't believe you when you say you love me. But if I can remember that I am loved, that I am special, that I am needed in this time and space, then you reaffirm it by saying it to me. If I don't believe those things, I just think you're a liar.
Hmm. Yeah. So I guess when it comes to for parents whose children, you know, are suicidal. And actually, I've got someone I know, a good friend, whose son is, I guess he's in his early 20s, and has contemplated it many times.
Yeah.
For when someone is like that, is the way to to shift that, does it go back to that personal value and self-worth and the importance,
yes,
of building that up?
Yes, absolutely. So when I first started discovering my program, I remember the day very, very vividly. I was standing at the doorway of my classroom watching my students come in. And it was first period, and a student was coming down the hall, and we're going to call him Timmy. And another student said some pretty inappropriate things to him. Timmy came into my classroom and was devastated, absolutely devastated. Now, what the child said to me didn't seem that horrible, but to Timmy, it devastated him. And so as we talked and we processed a little bit, I was like, you know, I wasn't sure how to help him. I did the best I could, told him that, no, you're not ugly. No, you know, you're smart. It's okay. You're going to be just fine. And I was like, you know, hopefully I helped him some. And I know I did because I spent the rest of the school year with him. But then later on that afternoon, another student was walking down to my classroom. We're going to call him Jacob. And another student said something to him that I thought was absolutely horrendous. And he comes into my classroom and he's not upset at all. And I'm like, hey, Jacob, you okay? He's like, yeah, that guy's just an idiot. And so that was the first time I saw what I thought was bullying, and it didn't affect Jacob. And then I thought back to earlier in the day with Timmy, and I thought, well, that wasn't really bullying, but Timmy was devastated. What was the difference? And so I started doing a lot of research, and I started asking my students a lot of questions, and I started paying attention to different things. And the one thing that showed up over and over and over again was the student who had decided they were valuable did not hold credence when others told them they weren't. It had no effect on them because they knew they were valuable. The students who didn't believe in themselves, anytime something was said, no matter how small, it would devastate them because they didn't have that foundation of belief and love and trust in themselves.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. I have to talk to my friend about this because, she has been just grappling with, the whole of trying, to help them and help him, her son. And, and it's one of those things where for her, she too deals with, some of the self-esteem or that value issue.
The bully between the ears.
So I'm thinking that might be the role model that he has seen that maybe he is, kind of picked up on and is emulating that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I would suggest that you have her go to bullyproofingyoubook.com. And there is a whole home study course there that she can purchase for her and her son if she would like to. But she needs to start it herself so she can start modeling better behavior for her son.
Yeah.
Okay, so I recommend the program for both of them. You can get a copy of my book there. You can get the workbook. You can get videos that go along with it. It's a whole home study course there.
Okay, great. So now, for those listening, what is it that you hope that people are going to take away from reading Bullyproofing You?
I want them to learn how to develop a sense of worth within themselves. I want them to know that they are needed in this time and space because they're living in this time and space. You have a purpose. You have a mission. And I want to help you fulfill that purpose and mission. This world is made up of a fabric with many different colors and many different patterns. And if you end your pattern or your thread early, it alters the rest of the pattern. And so please, 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 there are all sorts of people out there that can help you. There are many, many people, if you choose to work with me, I absolutely would love to. You've got to tame the bully between your ears so that you can live your best life possible.
Yeah. So now I noticed on your website that you do speaking engagements. So can you tell us a little bit about how that works? If there are teachers or people in the area of education who maybe want to, get their students or classes educated or, in this particular topic, how do they go up? First of all, what kind of programs do you offer? And then how would they go about making that happen?
Okay. So we do quite a few different programs, and we do a program for businesses and corporations for HR, helping them create a respectful workplace. Because like I said earlier, bullying's not just on the playground anymore. And then we also have a program where we go into schools and youth groups, colleges, universities, and help them learn how to tame the bully between their ears because we have got to stop this tide of suicide that seems to me out of control. It's got to be stopped. When we go into a high school or an elementary or middle school, we do three trainings. We do an assembly for the students, we do a training for the staff, and then we do a training in the evening for the parents and the community. when I go into a business, I do a training for their staff, and then they get to pick a local high school or elementary school or middle school that we do a complimentary training for. And so if you're interested in bringing this program to wherever you may be, please get a hold of me. And that's JeannieCiscoMeth.com, or you can send me an email, Jeannie@JeannieCiscoMeth.com.
That's great. Well, I've liked your page on Facebook, so I'll be able to follow you there. So I'm looking forward to seeing your continued work. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Again, this is really an important topic, and it just seems to be, you know, particularly in that cyber environment, seems to be getting more and more prevalent, and that, you know, we need to try and nip it in the bud as much as we can.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. We can no longer pay the price of our loved ones, you know, taking their own lives. We can't do that. They need to be here with us.
I agree. Too much to contribute.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, well, thank you for your time, Jeannie. I really appreciate you sharing it with us. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure the listeners will have as well. So thank you again for your time.
You bet. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
It's my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Jeannie Cisco Meth, and we've been talking about her book and programs. The book is Bully-Proofing You, Improving Confidence and Personal Value from the Inside Out. Again, you can find out more about her book, speaking engagements, blog, all kinds of things by visiting her website, which is JeannieCiscoMeth.com, and that's JeanieCiscoMeth.com. CiscoMeth.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.